Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CCW podcast. This is Al.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dagny.
Welcome to episode 20. We're going to knock the rust off this thing here, and we are going to call episode 20 Are You Serious? And that little title should give away the topic of this episode. We had a little new addition to the family, but before we get to the main topic, let's just give out our contact information. If you want to email us, we've gotten a lot of emails lately, thank you so much, and we're about 2 months behind on getting back to people, and we apologize for that, but we're seeing a lot of great new emails and emailers, and if you want to be one of those people, please email us at ccwpodcast@gmail.com, and you can check us out on iTunes at ccwpodcast, and our blog at ccwshow.blogspot.com, and our Podomatic page at ccwpodcast.podomatic.com. So, with that out of the way, we've had a quite a busy last few months getting ready for the holidays. We hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving out there, great Veterans Day before that, and we're looking forward to hearing about your holidays this season too. Hope you got a chance to spend time with your loved ones.
Yeah, just hopefully everybody's been safe and healthy, and yeah.
So we had a little vacation of sorts the other weekend, and as we were wont to do, we checked out the local gun scene where we were, a little bit further south from where we are right now, but in an area we'd never been, and we just happened to pass a very large gun store, and we wanted to check it out, and Dagny was like, why don't you...
Yeah, it was kind of a romantic weekend out of town. And Al had told me, you know, no, I don't want to go to the gun store because I promised, you know, like, no gun stuff. It's going to be just whatever you want. And I'm like, well, let's go, you know, let's go. We're here, you know, we got to see what it is.
The original plan was no gun stores. It was a romantic getaway. We stayed at a nice bed and breakfast. And we just happened to drive around town and see a huge gun store. And Dagny was like, yeah, let's check it out since we're here. And I said, no, this weekend was all about, you know, hanging out and spending quality time. And she said, no, that is quality time. So she was gracious enough and even, I think, wanted to go more than I did and check it out. It was nice.
Well, it was funny because whatever we were looking for shopping-wise, we ended up going past the store two or three times. We kept missing the store we were looking for, and we kept coming across this gun store. I'm like, come on, let's just go.
Yeah, it was on the main strip of a pretty busy part of town, and it just kept sticking out to us and kept beckoning us to go in, and we definitely were grateful that we did because, you know, I found a holster that I wanted, and... It was, what?
I don't know. What holster was it? Is it just your typical, right? Your standard?
It was a Glock 30 Galco USA. It's basically, I want to build in some redundancy, so I'm just doubling up on things that I think I need. So
is it the Second Amendment one again, or...?
It's the ultimate Second Amendment. Yep, the USA holster.
Yep, that's Al's... I don't know what you want to call it. Standby, your standard, I don't know.
Yeah, I have about probably four of those now, two in the Glock and two in the Colt 1911 3-inch that I used to use for my Smith. I need to sell those other ones, I think. But anyways, I was really happy that we found that there because I've been looking online and it's been harder and harder to find those from like places like Amazon and whatnot. Prices are going up at least. And so, Dagny kept, you know, there was a huge wall of ARs and rifles and whatnot, and Dagny wanted me to ask the people. It was pretty busy in there, as you guys can imagine, and I wasn't really feeling it that much. I just wanted to kind of look around and basically window shop, but not really ask any questions.
Yeah, they were really busy. This was, I'll say it was post-election. So really busy. And huge selection. I want to say it's the most selection of any store we've been to, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a real neat setup. It was like a big circular room, and basically all along the outside perimeter of the circle, they had just rifles as far as, you know, literally like lining every inch of the walls.
On the walls, and then cases, and then the inner, there was another set of cases on the inside that faced out. You know, they had a couple people inside, kind of like jewelry cases in your big department stores, you know?
Yeah.
So, like a big wheel.
The jewelry cases housed all their handguns, and they really had quite a few variations of handguns.
Excellent selection. I remember the prices were pretty good.
Yeah, we didn't look too closely because we were out of state, and we didn't want to have to deal with the FFLs and all that stuff. And if you guys are new to handgun purchasing, if generally speaking, if you purchase from out of state, you have to send it to your home state's federal firearms licensed dealer and basically get it shipped there before you can get your hands on it. So it wasn't so easy for us to want to buy a handgun and deal with that. So we were kind of looking at handguns, but mostly just browsing. I was really happy to have found that holster. And Dagny kept encouraging me to talk and talk to the people about learning more about the rifle. But I didn't really want to bug anybody, and it seemed like everyone was busy.
He was kind of sheepish. I know you don't know us or what we look like, but I could tell on his face he really wanted to talk to someone. It was like a kid in a candy store. It's like he was so overwhelmed. He didn't know where to start or who to go up to. So I said, I'm going to go to the restroom, you pay for the holster, and then we'll go and, you know, find the stores we'd been looking for. And sure enough, when I came out...
Well, see, she went to the bathroom and did her business, and while she was doing her business, I did mine, and an employee of the store came up to me and said, hey, you ready to check out? And I said, yeah, and we had some trouble finding a register to check out, and I said, you know what? While I got you here, you know, can you teach me a few things? And he said, sure, what do you need to know? And I said, well, my wife and I definitely want an AR, but we have no idea where to start. And he said, okay, well, what's your budget? And I was just like, well, you know, I gave him a number, but I said, it's something that I don't want any buyer's remorse. You know, I don't want to know, you know, a year from now that I made a big mistake in terms of the quality. I want something that'll last and something that, you know, my wife can use and I can use. And he basically, you know, pulled me aside and said, okay, well, and first thing he pulls out is a Daniel Defense AR. And it was a DDM4. Version 1 or V1 in a lightweight. And he handed that to me, and I thought, wow, you know, it was really light. And by this time, Dagny came out and was laughing because she saw me handling an AR.
Yeah, I was across the store at the restroom, and when he wasn't right by the restroom area ready to go, I knew, like, he's going to be at the counter. I knew I just had to go to the restroom and leave him alone, and he'd get some help, so.
Yeah, and it was pretty awesome to handle an AR like that. And I'd handled, I think, a few rifles in the past, but nothing that felt as light, and just it felt really smooth. And the guy showed me how to, you know, basically, you know, line up the sights, use the bolt or pull the bolt carrier assembly back. And I don't know if I'm using any of these terms correctly or not, but he basically just showed me the basic functionality of it. And then he showed us some other ones. I can't remember the brand names, but they were quite a bit heavier, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were a lot heavier.
So, long story short, too late for that, but this family now owns a Daniel Defense AR, and everything that I've researched since then, which has been pretty much a 24/7 passion of mine, is saying that the Daniel Defense AR is just a really well-manufactured rifle, and it's considered a tier one rifle, if I use that in quotation marks, because a lot of people have their own opinions on what tiers mean and all that, but in essence that just means that they have a very good reputation, along with the Colts and the Noveskis and the Lewis Machine and Tools, LaRue's, etc., etc. I've learned all about these names in the last couple of weeks in my little mini research, but
So far, no buyer's remorse. We haven't gotten to fire it, but we did a little bit of, or I should say Al did a little bit of wheeling and dealing as much as he could with the purchase price. I'll let you talk about that.
Well, we are in a post-election world at this point, and there is sort of a little bit of a buying frenzy. So they couldn't really budge on the price, but they could work with me on some of the accessories that I purchased, including the holster, some ammunition, an extra magazine, etc., etc. So just another buying tip, I guess, is if you guys can't find yourselves getting a discount for the firearms that you're purchasing right now due to demand, maybe you can get a good deal or at least a few, 10, 20 bucks off of the accessories that you want to buy with it. We got a cleaning kit, an extra magazine, that holster, and a few other items that I can't remember right now. That might be it, actually. But, yeah, it was a good, it was unfortunate that we waited so long. But maybe, there is a little bit of a concern now that there might be a movement towards an AR ban, so to speak, like there was back in 94, I think it was. So just something that we wanted to tackle before demand truly dried up. And Daniel Defense is a company that I've kind of knew of just from my minimal research and looking through gun magazines and whatnot. It was a name that kept popping up, and so I felt comfortable in the lightweight of the rifle definitely seemed to fit Dagny much better than any of the other ones that we handled. And The price was right, and the opportunity was right, and even though we're out of state, you can purchase a long gun with pretty much the same process as buying a handgun in our state. And you just basically get your instant criminal background check done, and basically fill out the form 4473, I think it is, and basically if you have a criminal or lack of a criminal record, I think you're okay there, and some other conditions. But other than that, it was pretty painless and it was very exciting. And I also want to talk to you guys a little bit about the rifle, unless Dagny has anything else to say.
Not really. I'm the only other thing. They did throw in 2 free hour range passes. The store had a range affiliated, but we didn't get to check that out yet. We'll have to go another weekend, I guess, make a weekend trip sometime or something.
That's right, yeah, the guy was really nice. He ended up throwing in a couple range passes for us to try out the new rifle. As of this podcast recording, we haven't had a chance to shoot it yet. Got some ammo on the way, and man, ammo's going up every day, it seems like. Still find some deals out there, but I got some ammo coming out, and hopefully we'll get a chance to shoot this before the next podcast, and hopefully that podcast will come out earlier than 2 months. But yeah, I'll tell you guys a little bit about the rifle, at least what I can articulate. It's got chambered for the 5.56 millimeter NATO round, which means that it can also handle the 223 Remington round. I've got some 5.56 ammo right now, and I got some more on the way, so I'll get a chance to shoot that. I wanted that little bit of a lighter load versus like a 308 Winchester, because I did want Dagny to be able to handle it, and it's basically the caliber that the military uses, so I was pretty comfortable with that. And as a 45 guy with handguns, I like the big slow bullets, but with the AR I felt that fast and small was okay because of a compromise, because I want Dagny to be able to be completely proficient in it, and also leaves room for me to someday buy a 308 rifle.
Yeah, he's already saying, all right, time to get the second one. I was like,
well,
no.
I was saying that this one might be hers, but no, you know what, I think I'll keep it myself. or at least we'll share it. So that's, let's see, what else is there? It's a Daniel Defense. I told you guys that. It's called a DDM4 V1 Lightweight. And I guess they just came out this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. This rifle was just made last month, and I was hot off the presses. Got one minor problem with it, the foregrip that it came with. I think I may need to call Daniel Defense and have them send me a new one, because it definitely appears to be cracked, or I don't even know what the term is, but there's definitely a crack in there, right?
Yeah, we just noticed it, I guess.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I didn't want to call him today or this weekend. It's holiday weekend, so I'll probably wait till the next week to bug him about it. Hopefully they'll send me another foregrip, and that'll be, I mean, it's on there fine, just fine. I can definitely see there's a crack on each side, and Dagny doesn't want me to risk, you know, ever using it if it's cracked, so probably wouldn't be a big deal, but I definitely would like a new one. Everything else looks great. Haven't had a chance to shoot it yet, but we're definitely wanting to podcast about this, since it was our largest purchase to date in the self-defense arena. Well, let's see. I've done a bunch of research on ARs, and people like Ross have emailed us about it and told us, you know, good thinking on an AR, and we appreciate all of our listeners' support on that front. Ross, let me know if I made a good decision or not. I'm hopeful that we did, and I think that we're pretty confident that we did. And doing research online and the internet can be a very harsh place. You know, they have a lot of harsh critics online, and it was rough going to find anyone saying anything bad about Daniel Defense. So felt really great about that, and their customer service has a reputation on par with Glock, I'd say. So this foregrip issue, I'm looking forward to seeing how well they live up to that reputation. I have high hopes. Dagny?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Ross's email from quite a while ago now, when we first were mentioning again about getting a defensive home shotgun, was, you know, yes, you want that, but with the political climate, the way it was headed way back then, you know, you might want to think about an AR if you're ever wanting one. And so we waited until after the election, and this, they had not hiked prices yet. I mean, they knew it was coming, but this was pretty close after the election, and so I was pretty insistent to Al. It's why I wanted to go to the shop, because we've both been dragging our feet, but I think Al a little more than me, just because of how big of a ticket item it is. And I said, you know what, Christmas to ourselves, or however you want to look at it, you know, because if the ban goes through, which in all likelihood probably will, you know, we're not going to be able to get one.
I don't think there'll be a ban, but we'll see. I have much more confidence that there are much larger issues to fry, and that this movement, should it get larger, will fail. But ultimately, the reason that I wasn't sure about the rifle was because I just didn't know anything about it, and I didn't want to get ripped off, and I didn't want to buy something that I'd regret, you know. And I don't want to necessarily equate it to the 1911 that I bought, but it was kind of similar to that. I didn't want to overbuy necessarily. And I probably did overbuy on this case, too. But, you know, it's a pretty rifle, I have to say.
If they can be pretty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Daniel Defense.
Sleek maybe is better.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's, well, you know, it's awe-inspiring is what I should say. You know, I've tried to look online and get a few books on the subject of ARs and trying to do a lot of research on it. It's don't know much about it right now, and I definitely need to get training on it. And that's something that I can look forward to here in the next calendar year, after the winter, perhaps. But it's came with only one magazine. That was kind of disappointing. It came with a Magpul P-Mag, which is apparently the industry standard. 30 rounds of 5.56, so that's kind of neat. What else can I talk about in my limited knowledge? It's got a really thin, the name, it's, if you remember, it's the DD-M4 version 1 lightweight, and the LW, and it's lightweight because I guess the barrel is lightweight, and it uses more of a pencil type barrel rather than a bull barrel, which can be heavier. So that's where it gets that name, and it's a little bit lighter than the normal DDM4 version 1. So,
can you explain a little? You said pencil versus
bull barrel.
I don't even know what that is. Can you?
I think so. I think it's just a matter of weight. I think it's the pencil barrel actually looks like a pencil in terms of it's just really a straight, thin cylinder. And the bull barrel is kind of more metal. More reinforced looking, I guess, and it's not necessarily perfectly straight. There's sections of it that are larger than others, and it's a very crude way of describing it, but it's definitely more metal there, you know? It's bulkier. Okay. And some people think that it's more accurate, the bull barrel. I think for our purposes, which is personal protection, home defense, this lightweight barrel will be plenty accurate and probably a lot more accurate than we'll be in the future. Two things that I definitely want to get, and I definitely am asking all of you listeners out there to send me any tips on, are optics. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. From the cost perspective, we probably don't need it right now, and we probably want to get good with just the iron sights that it came with. But in the future, I'd like optics. In the closer future, I'd want a sling. So I don't know anything about slings and which slings to get, so I'm hopeful that you guys can send me your tips. Otherwise, I might just go with something that Magpul makes or something that a big-name brand makes. So.
Yeah, we didn't know. We went to a local gun shop here recently since we got the AR, and we're looking at their slings, and it seems more geared towards just like hunting rifles, not ARs. And I don't know anything about the, you know, Al does all that research on the accessories and stuff. I don't know if there's a difference in the slings or anything. It just seemed,
they didn't seem to be very brand name. They seemed off-brandish, if that's a word.
Not that that's indicative of anything, but they just didn't seem very substantial.
Yeah. Well, we bought a really nice rifle. I don't want to put a $10 sling on it if I can find something worthwhile in quality. But we went to our local gun store here, and it was pretty busy, wasn't it? It was really packed.
Yeah, it was full, and I think a lot of it is hunting season, and there were a lot of little boys with their dads probably picking out their first, you know, hunting rifle or shotgun or whatever, so that was kind of cool, very busy, and we weren't really looking for handguns today. I kind of perused, because I'm still kind of on the hunt for a 9 that I can carry. But really, no news to report there.
Yeah, so a few guns caught your eye today. It was a Kel-Tec PF9 and a Beretta Nano that you kind of wanted to check out. But just from the busyness of the place, we just kind of took off before we realized, well, after we realized that there weren't any slings that I was interested in or you were interested in.
Right. It wouldn't have been a buying day because, one, we just, you know, we bought this other thing pretty recently, but also not going to buy anything that we can't test, and this isn't the store that has the range, so we're going to have to go and rent some 9s for me at some point here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, and so just to give you guys ammo prices, we found this particular gun store had Federal, I want to say it's called XM193. They had 5.56 ammo of that, 1,000 round case for $399.99. Now, I'm sure that's not a great deal compared to in the past, but I'm not sure what they are currently. We also went to our local Walmart, Wally World, and I saw that they had 45 auto 100 round packs, Winchester white box, for $39.97. So if you guys remember when I first started this podcast earlier this year, Winchester white box, I think, had slowly gone up, but maybe right around the beginning of last year, I was buying them for $32.97. So quite a bit, $7. more for 100 more rounds. And I think if Walmart's charging that much, then, you know, prices are going up. So hopefully you guys have ammo stocked up. And whether or not you should stock up at these prices is kind of your own personal opinion. We definitely wanted to get a rifle and just get that secured, even if we had to pay a little bit of a premium for that. And when the store that we did talk to, dude, we did buy the rifle from, ultimately was saying that, yeah, they had, ever since the election, gone through a lot of inventory. And yeah, it looked it too. I mean, every gun store we've been to since the election has been packed. And it's good to see. It's also, I guess, a good time to really reflect upon what else we need. I don't think, since we bought this rifle, I don't know if we're going to buy a shotgun or not.
I guess it's not on the immediate horizon. About the ban, I think Al's more optimistic on it than I am. And if I end up liking a 9 that has a little bit bigger capacity magazine, I'll probably want to move on that sooner than later for the same reason. As we bought the AR. So I don't know. I mean, that's not an immediate sort of thing, but it's on my mind because I'm thinking like, I love the 19. It's my nightstand gun. And, we wouldn't be able to buy that with the mag that's in it. So,
yeah. Concurrent with the 1994 assault rifle ban, there was also a ban on, quote unquote, high capacity magazines is what they called it. You know, basically, the normal capacity magazines, anything over 10 rounds, was considered too high. So that, say for your Glock 19, for example, the only way you could buy one post-ban and brand new would be in a 10-round magazine. So normally it can be holding 15 rounds, but after the ban, you could only buy a Glock 19 with a 10-round magazine unless it was grandfathered in or older. Or used or something like that, but that's where she's coming from there. I think that's a good point. I mean, if there is a ban and there is a ban on high capacity magazines, then the ones that you already own will go for quite the premium online and in the marketplace because people will want to get their hands on them. So if you're speculative and you want those magazines and they find a good deal for them, it's always a good idea to have a ton of magazines. So
I don't know if I have anything else. I just kind of feel bad that it's been so long. We didn't quite hit the 2-month mark this time, but we got pretty darn close.
This could be the biggest lull in podcasts, and that's too bad. And you know, we always joke that we buy something just so we have an excuse to podcast about it, but we need to stop doing that. We can definitely follow up with you guys on the foregrip issue when we deal with Daniel Defense, their customer service, and we definitely are going to keep an eye out for a 9mm single stack for Dagny. And how's your carrying experiences been lately?
Well, last episode, I, you know, filled everybody in on how I was kind of panicked to go to the dentist's office. And since then, I've been trying to really, trying to do Semper Petari more than I have in the past. If I know I'm with Al a lot of times, I'll be like, oh, he's right next to me. I'm not going to bother. You know, I have to maybe change the outfit I'm planning on wearing or, you know, ankle carry, which isn't really practical for all intents and purposes. So I've really been trying to work with my wardrobe and wear outfits that'll let me carry with that sticky holster and appendix much more regularly. And it's becoming, I get, this is funny, it's not the potty episode, but when I carry now, I don't get nervous if someone is in the restroom when I have to go and I'm carrying. I don't get nervous if somebody walks in. It's become kind of second nature, you know, set it down. What I typically do is set it on the toilet paper dispenser because they're typically flat, and you know, and get done and put it back in and double check it. And you know, kind of OCD, I have to watch myself. I usually have a coat on because I'm always cold, so I'll stick my hands in my coat pocket and feel through my coat and stuff so nobody can tell, but like double check myself because I kind of do it so automatically, repositioning it, that sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, don't want to leave it in the restroom or anything, but never happened. So it's becoming much more automatic, I guess. And I don't know, Al's holster, he doesn't have to take it off because it's attached with the belt. So it's a little different procedure with the sticky.
Yeah, while we're at the subject of how we go to the little boys' room and little girls' room, when I'm having to sit down, so to speak, I like to put it right on my thigh and cover it up with my pants or jeans or whatever it is that you're wearing. And it's kind of hard to explain, but I can cover the entire thing up. And have it on my thigh, and so it never touches the ground, it never gets displaced. Basically, when I'm, you know, pulling my pants back up, it's coming up right with me, so it's a little bit of an art form, but I think that most guys who carry in the appendix positions, it's going to be a lot easier than people who carry it behind the hip. Not sure what you guys do when you are dropping trowel, but that's what I do. It's easy, and it's not even, like she said, it's a second nature.
I don't know how detailed you want to get, but Al told me how he held it when he went to the bathroom like that, and I tried it before I had the sticky holster. I mean, if you recall, I've got, is it a DeSantis?
Yeah.
It's got the really tight metal clip, and then I also have a Galco that you need the belt to hold it on with. And it's really hard with the Galco for me because it's just too loose when my pants go down. But the DeSantis, that clip is so tight, I can just kind of fold the whole gun into the pants and let it kind of dangle inside, and it won't come unclipped. But the alternative that Al's talking about, basically, if I can describe it a little more,
sure,
is that he lays it on his thigh, and then you're under your undergarments, you can kind of pull it up higher and then place it over it. And it's really kind of, I don't want to say ingenious, brag on my husband, but you know, a lot of the restroom doors, there's a little bit of space. And I don't know how guys are, but women, you kind of bend down to look under the door to see if somebody's occupying the stall or something. I mean, there's always the possibility that somebody can see through.
Right.
And you don't want anybody to see it in there. You know, I always kind of worry about that when I put it on the toilet paper dispenser. So I, it's not really become an issue for me, but in the sticky holster, it's not really an option for me. But with the DeSantis, it was a very, very good solution, because if somebody walked by, all they're going to see, if they even saw through in any way, was your clothing, you know?
Yeah. I use the elastic band of my unmentionables, and I put it over the grip of the pistol, and that covers up the entire thing, so you can't see anything. You'll more likely see the family jewels before you see anything that I'm carrying, so... but yeah, that's pretty much our bathroom carry tip of the day. anything else you want to say?
I don't know. I think that does it.
All right. So that is, we wanted to fill you guys in on our latest adventures. Quite a lot has happened lately, and we're excited to share all of that with you guys. And we want to say happy belated Thanksgiving and happy belated Veterans Day. I hope you guys thanked a veteran, or if you are a veteran out there, thank you for your service. And as we get to the Christmas holiday season, maybe we do an episode on some of the gifts that we want. Or right now, do you have anything that's on your wish list? We're pretty lucky, huh? We're pretty thankful.
Yeah, we're pretty comfortable. I mean, the car... I just need to get to a range and put some more rounds through it. And we had a new emailer who also said maybe contact Car and see if they have any suggestions or maybe service that they would recommend. Yeah. I feel like we need to get the full... We still haven't hit the full 200, have we? I think we bring this up every few episodes.
No, but we haven't shot that car in six months at least.
Yeah. So we just need to get up to the range, rent some nines, put some more through the car... and you know, softball's over, so that's not an excuse. And then, of course, as if on cue, work has picked up, so we've been both been busier, I guess, with our work. So
very much so. It's a good thing, I guess, in a way, job security. One more thing I wanted to mention: Amazon is having a really good deal on electronic muffs. I just bought a couple of Howard Leight LEIGHT electronic. I have them right here. Let's see here. They're called Shooter's Electronic Earmuffs, and they're by Howard Leight, L-E-I-G-H-T, and they're Impact Sport Electric Earmuffs. They're $39.99 now on Amazon, so if you guys are thinking of good gifts to get, we definitely...
What's the regular price? I mean, how much is that of a deal, or for people who don't know? Because we just had really basic muffs until you got these, right?
Yeah, we had like $8 to $10 muffs, but... And if we want to do more training and more instruction, get more teaching instruction on it, and having an electronic earmuff is really nice because you can hear the other person right next to you, and then it will block out anything over a certain decibel level, which is usually the firearm going off.
So you can hear the instructor speaking, but you don't get all of the... firearm discharge noise.
Exactly. And they come with batteries. This particular brand, you can actually plug in your iPod too, so you can listen to music in the meantime. Not sure how practical that is, but it's a neat feature, I thought. So we haven't tried these earmuffs, but I definitely I bought two to make sure that Dagny had one and I had one. We'll give you a future review on it, but Amazon has hundreds of reviews on it. And they were a good deal at $450 each, and they're a better deal now at $39.99. So I don't own any Amazon stock, but thought you guys might want to know that. I just found that out the other day. So with that, we'll say that thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Yep, Semper Paratari.